Scripture reading comes from the very first book of the Bible. This is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, in a recent magazine interview, a forest ranger from Wales, a man by the name of Stephen Richards Price, was reflecting on some of the most common questions he is asked by tourists. Now, not surprisingly, as a forest ranger over the years, Richards Price said he's asked basically the same questions each and every day. Questions like, where does this trail go? Or how long does it take to hike it? Or are there any snakes in this forest? Now, Richard Price says the most common question he is asked by tourists, and it happens every day, is not, where do you go to the bathroom out here? No. The most common question is this. Excuse me, sir, people ask. Can you tell me where this trail begins? You see, people often have trouble finding the trailhead, the start of the path. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, if you don't know where your journey begins, you will never make it to the end. You see, today is the first Sunday of Advent. It is the day when we begin our spiritual journey as a community of faith towards Christmas. It's hard to believe, but just 22 days from now, 22, we'll be in a barn celebrating the birth of the Christ child. But where does the story of Christmas actually begin? Where's the start of the trail that eventually will take us to Bethlehem? Does Christmas begin with the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to announce the birth of a Messiah? Does it begin with Zechariah and Elizabeth conceiving a child in their old age? Well, no. Not according to the scripture, at least. According to the Bible, the story of Christmas is much older than either of those two events, according to the Gospel of John. Well, Christmas started at the very beginning. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. See, the Scripture says the story of Christmas starts at the very dawn of creation because Jesus was there in the beginning and the entire world came into being through him. And all of the Old Testament points to the seminal moment of Christmas, this time when God breaks into creation, the time when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. You see, too often when we talk about the story of Jesus' nativity, our picture of Jesus' birth, it's just too small. We minimize what it is that has happened. And that's why this Advent season, we're beginning a new sermon series that we're calling The Big Picture, the story of Christmas from the beginning of time. It's a series where we're going to look back at the major themes of the Old Testament, themes that all point towards Christmas morning, themes like creation and fall and covenant and promise and Messiah. Because if we don't know where the story truly begins, if we don't know where the trail starts, well, we will never make it to the end. We will never make it to Bethlehem. And what better place for us to begin this morning on this first Sunday of Advent than in the book of Genesis, which in Greek literally translates into the book of beginnings. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's my question for you this morning. How exactly does God create the heavens and the earth in the Bible? Did you catch it? Did you hear how it happened? How does God bring something out of nothing? How does he bring order out of chaos? Well, according to the scripture, the Bible says God speaks it into existence. God says light, and suddenly there's light. God says mountains, and there are mountains. God says rivers, and rivers burst forth onto the ground. God speaks, and suddenly, something that wasn't there comes into existence. Something that was not there before starts to form. Now, what a strange way for God to create the universe. In case you're wondering, there were other religions in the ancient Near East that had different ideas of how the universe came into existence. There were some religions that believed that human beings didn't come into existence until the divine powers of light defeated the divine powers of darkness in a cosmic battle. Or other religions believed that two gods got together and conceived within one of their wombs all of creation, and that existence was birthed out of a god. But the Hebrew people had a different understanding of how the world came about. The God of the Hebrew people created simply by speaking, simply by using words. God speaks, and the world changes. Peter Gomes is a former pastor at Harvard Memorial Church at Harvard University. And he tells the story of being approached one Parents' Weekend by a frantic mother who was concerned about her daughter's education. "Pastor Gomes," she said, "you have to help us. You know, we sent our daughter to Harvard to get a good education, but she's gone off the deep end. Just in this first semester, she got mixed up in some kind of religious group. She said God spoke to her, and now, well, I don't know what to make of it. She didn't learn any of that from us." Peter Gomes said to this distressed mother, I can tell this is very upsetting. Now tell me, what exactly happened with your daughter? Did she get mixed up in some kind of cult here in Boston? Did she join the Hare Krishnas? Did she run off with the Moonies? What happened to her?" "It's worse than that," the mother replied. "Much worse. Our daughter came back over fall break, and she walked into the living room, and she announced to the entire family that she had become Episcopalian." And God said, "Let there be faith," so that someone who did not believe would suddenly come to belief. And it was evening and it was morning, the eighth day. God speaks and the world changes. The great Jewish rabbi Abraham Heschel once said, "The word of God creates a whole new word," which is to say, just a single word spoken by God, and a new world is opened to us. A new world you did not know existed before. And so a couple calls the church office, and they ask to set up a meeting. She sits on one side of the room, he sits on the other, and you can feel the anger in the air. They argue about the past. They argue about all of the pain. They argue about everything that had led them to this very moment until finally there was no more words that they could share. There was silence in the room. And then suddenly a voice speaks. "I'm sorry," the voice says. "Can we start over?" the voice says. And God said, "Let there be forgiveness, so that the pain of the past might not define our lives anymore and healing might come." And it was evening and it was morning, the ninth day. Yes, God speaks and the world changes. God speaks and suddenly order comes out of chaos. New life comes out of destruction. Hope comes out of despair. Lives are changed when people hear God's voice. In fact, I'm guessing that's why you're here today. I'm guessing that's why you've come here early on a Sunday morning. It's because at some point in your life, you heard the voice of God speaking to you. Do you remember it? That voice that came to you and told you that there was more to life than simply making a living. It was a voice that gave you courage during your hour of greatest fear. It was the voice that gave you direction when you felt so lost and afraid. It was that same voice that told you that you mattered, you truly mattered, because you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. That was the voice of God that called you here this morning so that you could be part of a community of faith. And God said, let there be a church, so that my people would not have to journey through this life alone, but instead they could share faith together. And it was evening and it was morning, the 10th day. So this Advent season, as you journey with us to Bethlehem, keep listening. Listen for the voice of God, that still small voice that speaks and sighs too deep for words. Because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is among us. We have seen its glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. And when you hear it, when you listen, well, your life will never be the same. I'll close with a story. Just about 5 years ago now, I was guest preaching over at Community Presbyterian Church in the Village. And after the service was over, and I was greeting people as they were leaving the sanctuary, a woman came up to me and said to me this. She said, David, thank you so much for being here this morning. She said, I really appreciated your message today. It spoke to me in many ways. You've given me a lot to think about. She said, can I tell you my favorite part of your sermon? I said, absolutely. I said, that's my favorite thing to talk about on Sunday. Lay it on me. Well, she said, my favorite part of your sermon was in the middle of your message. You were talking and talking and talking and preaching and preaching and preaching, and then all of a sudden, you just stopped. And you didn't say anything for like 4 or 5 seconds. She said, I really appreciated that. I said, I'm sorry, what? I said, your favorite part of my sermon was the part where I wasn't talking? She said, yeah. It really spoke to me. And as she left the sanctuary that day, all I could think about was the fact that I hadn't said anything. But then again, maybe I wasn't the one doing the talking. Yes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.